Spider 5, and this is the Digital Freethought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Today is Sunday, March 15th, 2020, and if it's not, then you're listening to a rebroadcast of the show and should not be trying to call in. I'm Dotter 5, and as usual, we have our co-host, Wombat, on the phone with us. Hello, Wombat.
Hey, it's the Wombat. I'm here. It's a new week, and we're still alive. Isn't that amazing?
That's so far so good.
Yeah.
Our guests today are Chad the Impaler and Boudreaux. Hello.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hello. I didn't leave anybody out. Digital Freethought Radio Hour is a call-in talk radio show about atheism, freethought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. And if you get the feeling that you're the only non-believer in Knoxville or East Tennessee for that matter, well, you're just not. There are several atheist, free-thinking, and rationalist groups that exist right here in Knoxville, and we'll be telling you how you can connect with them right after the mid-show break. Also, did you know there's an atheist call-in television show broadcasting right here in Knoxville and has been for 10 years? Did you know that one?
Yes, it's been on TV, and you can still catch it on TV because it's always on TV. No, I read all my notes. I know what I'm talking about. I've spent years learning this.
Yeah, 10 years. 10 years it's been on TV, but no longer. It's now broadcasting on the webs. On the intertubes, and you can see it whenever you want to, I guess. They broadcast it live streaming at Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock, but you can find it on YouTube by going to Freethought United Coalition of Knoxville.
Whoa.
And check that out. And in spite of what Steve Martin would have you think, there are an awful lot of atheist songs out there, and you'll be hearing some of them right here on the program and generally on the station as they are in rotation. Wombat, what do you have for us today? I assume it's going to be COVID-19.
Excuse me while I touch my face. I'm just trying to get everything sorted out. So we have some cool things. We talk about the sciences on the show, right? And I thought, what good opportunities along with, you know, I think, you know, it's a rare opportunity to have so many PhDs on the call today. Why don't we delve into like some of the science of, you know, what's going on in the news at the moment, coronavirus, COVID-19, a variation of SARS, and its widespread and implications and likewise effective ways to solve it, both spiritual and scientific. And we can maybe see historically which has been most effective.
It's supposed to be like the most deadly virus since the Spanish flu of 1918, which had a mortality rate of around 4%. And we're seeing anywhere from 3 to 5% with this one, it's right up there with it. You can go ahead.
All right, and I want this to be a roundtable, so feel free to come in anytime. Are you sure it's the most deadly? Because there's far more deadly diseases out there. Even the regular flu has a higher death count. I think this is the
No, it doesn't.
Just finishing what I'm saying.
The regular flu has a death count of about 0.03%.
Just throwing this out. It's a deadly epidemic or a deadly pandemic, but there are definitely more deadly diseases.
Oh, yeah. I didn't say the one.
Okay.
But I was saying it was the most deadly virus that we've had.
Boudreaux, you had some things that you wanted to talk about this. Like, where would you want to start? Oh, Boudreaux's on the road right now, right?
Sorry. No, yeah. I'm off the road now, but I did have you on mute.
Okay.
Apologize.
Go for it. Oh, you said you had some things you want to talk about with the coronavirus, especially with a person with kids. How do you feel about all this stuff?
Yeah, no, I think it's important to be talking about a lot because I'm hearing just a ton of conflicting information.
Yeah.
You know, I listen to one podcast and I hear one thing, I listen to another podcast, I hear another. And honestly, it's a scary thing because we have actual experts talking about this. And one expert is saying the virus can't last on surfaces for, you know, more than really a half an hour or so. And others are saying it can last for days.
Yeah.
And it's like, and then, you know, most people are saying the masks are just unnecessary unless you know you're infected and they might help some. And everyone's saying a lot of people are saying it's airborne, but then others are saying it's a respiratory spread. So it's really comes from cough and sneeze. And those droplets. So it's scary. The scariest part I think I've seen is the misinformation and the You know, what are we going to do to the economy if we shut everything down? And what are we going to, do to, you know, the elderly if we just ignore this and go on as business as usual? So I'm curious what all you guys think. What do you think are the real facts out of this? The things that absolutely true.
Impaler, what do you think? What are some of the real facts about this?
I really don't know. This is one of those subjects where I'm going to reserve judgment. Because like Boudreau was saying, you've got experts in opposite corners fighting to be correct or to be presumed to be correct. I don't really understand exactly what's going on. So I'm just going to kind of sit back and wait a little bit longer till I have more information. It's a shame that we have to take information given to us by experts and then vet that information yet again when we're relying on them to do that for us. You know, one thing that you mentioned about having so many PhDs on the call, you know, a lot of people say things like, well, I'm not an expert in that field, so I'm going to reserve judgment. I don't think having a PhD means anything. If it means nothing else, it at least should mean that
one.
Yeah, train your mind so that you kind of know more how to think instead of what to think. So I do like that we have so many of these people on the call, but I also see accredited experts having these conflicts too. And I think it also kind of points to a problem that we're having in society in general, where, you know, how can we have people with such fantastic backgrounds say things about vaccinations, and then another expert, and I'm doing air quotes, you can't see it, say the opposite? I'm not sure who to believe. I think I'm just going to reserve judgment for now.
Okay. Anyone else want to weigh in on this? Like,
well, I think the main thing that we have to agree on is social distancing is a good concept. We don't want to pack people in for like concerts or huge meetings or church assemblies, that type of thing. That until this thing passes over, we need to disperse, as it were, to our homes, to our works, and keep the social contact to a minimal.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And there we have a new guest. His name's Nathan. He, if you'd like to jump in anytime, you're free more so to jump in. But, also thanks for,
sure. Yeah.
Hanging out lurking.
Yeah, definitely lurking. Oh yeah. I was lurking, watching Anthony last, Monday.
Nice.
I actually just got done. I've been up all night driving, with some friends all the way out into the woods. We have definitely isolated ourselves completely. yeah. So I am not going anywhere. I'm off grid for the most part.
Off grid.
You
still got cellular Wi Fi?
Yeah. I've got walkie talkies. I've got Wi Fi. Yeah. We've got rice and, dude, we're
wow.
ready. We're
prepped. Wow. Cool. Whoa. Okay.
For a little while. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. But, like, I got to say, I drove down I-5. How long did we drive for? 9 hours? 12 hours? Oh my god. I can't believe I drove that long.
Look at you guys.
12 hours in one shot, and there was no one on the roads.
Nathan, do you think you're doing that partly because it's kind of fun to do that too? Or are you
really that's absolutely a part of it, yeah.
Well, right.
Plus I had only exposed myself to these three people that I'm with for a long period of time, for like the last 3 days, and I didn't, and they were about to leave, and I wasn't about to be by myself for like a week in my own house.
Right. Yeah, that drives everyone crazy.
And I just thought, well, I could be here by myself in my comfortable home, or I could go do an adventure that's crazy and wild and different and go with some of my best friends. And,
sounds like a Nathan
thing
to do.
Be off grid in the woods, and I brought a bunch of books. I packed pretty light, but I've got everything I need. I'm pretty kind of a minimalist, and so here I am.
So you don't realize this, but this is the classic setup for a horror movie when you really think about it. And I'm just surprised. It's like black people know this immediately, and it's just like white people's like, no, I just went in the woods with some friends, and there was a white, and there's a guy with glasses who tells jokes, and I thought nothing could go wrong here. It's like, of course, things always go wrong in the woods.
You got to look out for those graboids.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The worms. Yeah. Come get you. And Tremors. Well, yeah. There was like the prepper in the movie Tremors. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie.
No, I'm not.
If you haven't, it's great. It's Kevin Bacon. Anyway, there's one of the best shootout scenes ever is in that movie. And yeah, I don't know. Anyway, well, if you haven't seen it, then all I can say is you should see it.
One of the best things we can say about this virus is apparently it doesn't turn people to zombies yet.
No, yeah. Just get some.
I love that. I have some things I'd like to weigh in on then, especially things that like Boudreaux had brought up, like with regard to standards of evidence. And it's just an idea of it's okay that there's conflicting information out there, but it's a question of like, what's the standard that I'm using to make sure that I'm only getting good information, which tends to be the struggle, especially in like heated situations where we might have a sense of panic where we're like, I need information now. Our standards tend to drop when we have more pressure on trying to get to a conclusion. And it's always important to make sure that we maintain a high standard of evidence, both with, you know, the main question of like, what's going to happen to me when I die, or a coronavirus situation where you just want to know, am I in danger? Who's in danger? And what should I do to protect myself? You will find out that there is, particularly when there's a political element, a very specific way to disseminate information to the public. And when I was working in our chemical weapons area, like I was not making chemical weapons, we were getting rid of them, we were destroying them. But we were expressly told on at least a weekly basis, the format of how you answer questions, if you're asked outside of work, what do you do for a living? What's the nature of how you guys are doing it? And where can I get more information to figure out how you guys are doing it? You can't just say, oh, I'm getting rid of chemical weapons, this is how I'm doing it. Because if one person says something slightly wrong, that friend's going to talk to another friend, and next thing is, you know, it's going to get to a reporter, and they're going to say, these guys are doing this technique to get rid of these weapons. Isn't that dangerous? And then you have these competing narratives that make everything a lot more complicated. So you'll find that the best sources of information for particularly situations like this aren't going to be on your 24-hour news cycles by guys who have a journalist degree and are paid to like say things in between dog food commercials. You're going to get very specific short statements directly from the powers that be, most in this case for America, the CDC. And they may not come at the time that we absolutely need them. They may not have all the information that we want at the moment, but they will be the information that we know at that time.
And you may have to search them out instead of just waiting to see them on your screen. You may have to actually go to the site and look for them.
Exactly. And CDC does have an information site that you can go to directly. And I would say that's your best resource. And now they're actually building up their YouTube presence where they have like a daily update of what they do know. And it's always like this really weird idea of like, if you don't know something, what value is that to me? Because the CDC's, their initial reports were not rich in information, because this is very much a situation where they're still developing information and want to make sure they report the best information possible. But sometimes that's not good enough for people, and they need to know as many details as possible. They need to know as many statistics as possible to build up a narrative for them to justify if they feel panicked or not. And the issue with that is, saying, for example, the CDC saying, I don't know what the answer is. The benefit of that is that you don't get misinformation. And there's always going to be a greater amount of misinformation in times like this, because there's a direct financial benefit for people to say, pay attention to us. We're saying the craziest things possible. Be right back after these ads. And so you have to watch out for stuff like that. And I'll just throw out one last thing. The idea of an expert saying, okay, so the idea of a scientist saying something, a guy with a PhD, versus what science says, which is not, you know, loaned to any particular authority, it's a very different thing. And it goes down to, like, a lot of times when I'm doing SE, where I talk to people and they say, well, science supports my God existing. And a lot of those times I just ask a quick clarification question. I'll be like, so you're saying science proves your God? And they'll say, no, I meant there are a lot of scientists who believe in my God. And those are very, very different claims. The scientist versus the science. The expert versus what the information is saying. And if we find that the information isn't enough to come to a definitive conclusion, we have to come to that assessment together, as uncomfortable as it might be. It does indicate that this is what we do know for now. The experts are free to spin on that as much as they want, but what does the information lie to? And that's what I'm going to be basing my standard of evidence on. And this information that we have is available to us all on the CDC website, as well as the CDC channel. They do an update every day. And I think if we look at the well spread of information that's available to us now, compared to what it was, like, say, you know, a month ago, maybe 2 months ago, I find that we could have enough information where it'll be like, okay, I understand where the dangers are. I understand that for even people who get sick, we have a lot of people recovering, and more people recovering than people getting sick at this moment too. Is it worth the panic? No, but is it worth being commonsensical with how you maintain your personal hygiene and stay safe? Absolutely. And that goes beyond just coronavirus, but along with the spawn of a variety of viruses that are currently out there right now. And it doesn't help you to get sick by those as well. Like, you can get sick in a number of different ways. Just make sure you reduce it as much as possible. And that's basically my summary of the points that we've talked about so far.
I wish there were an applause button. I'd press it right now.
Sorry about that. Boudreaux, what do you think about that? Do you want to respond? Because I was responding to a lot of the points that you had made.
No, I think that was a nice summary. I agree on the applause. I think the trouble right now is waiting to do something for better, waiting for more information to do something could be hurting us too. Kentucky has done a lot. I think they were one of the first five states to shut down schools. And I'm actually really proud of our leadership in Kentucky. I think they've done a lot to so-called flatten the curve, or hope to flatten the curve. And I hope it turns into something good. I hope it doesn't destroy economy. But I think it was a good bet. And we basically, the city cut down everything. I mean, we're not doing soccer, kids' soccer, school activities, school. And I think it's really going to help, I hope. You know, so I don't know. The struggle I have is, I mean, are we wasting our time? A lot of people are going to potentially lose their jobs. Small businesses are really, really in trouble. So I've been thinking a lot about how I can help the local economy by buying gift cards to places.
Oh, wow. Look at you.
Yeah. That's great. Or takeout when possible. So things like, anyone else tried anything like that to help?
Buying meats if you're a carnivore or even an omnivore, that going to your local butcher rather than Kroger, Walmart, or any other supermarket might help too. And they tend to have full shelves.
Yeah.
So find an old school butcher.
I think we need to agree that the most important thing we can do right now is go out and buy toilet paper.
Nah.
Yeah.
Don't you know that causes coronavirus?
Yeah.
Like, there's a pretty strong link to
our priority. Yeah.
Toilet paper shortages and coronavirus. So,
I have a personal complaint right now, and this is very personal against Larry, because a while back ago, last year, I did a whole show on how atheism is just like owning a bidet or getting a bidet.
Oh, yeah.
I told you that it's the exact same thing, because people look at you like crazy. It's like, what, you own a bidet? It's like, yes, it's way cleaner. Or like, hey, there's no good reason to believe in a God, and people are just skeptical. It's just like, no, it's actually better. I gave you the link. It was only $20. Larry, don't disappoint me. I know you didn't do it.
Do what? Buy a bidet?
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
Exactly. And now who's laughing? I don't need toilet paper. I've been off of it for the last year, maybe. And it's amazing.
No, I think it's a good idea.
It's amazing.
I have a question about how you dry the bum post the spray.
There are bidets that have a drying function on it. So you just swap it to it and it blows out air. Or if you want to, you can just use a little very, very, you can use toilet paper to do that too, but it doesn't, you're just drying at that point. It's not like you're really cleaning up. And the spray itself is not like dripping down your legs. It's only on your bum. If I could be as graphic
as possible.
I'm
going to need a video link.
It's amazing. It really does change how you think, like, oh, why am I, you do that once, you do the bidet once and you're like, no, of course I wouldn't use toilet paper again. Like, I've had to use a toilet at work, and I'd be like, not if there's not a bidet here. I'll drive home and just use the toilet if I got to go number two. It's crazy. It really does.
I wonder why these people think that they're going to use so much toilet paper. If we're in lockdown for a couple of weeks, how many rolls of toilet paper do you go through? And maybe if you're going that often, you might be shoving too much in your face. You know?
Yeah.
I worry too. What do these people think they're going to, who they're going to be surrounded by? If they buy all the toilet paper, they're going to be surrounded by people that have dirty bottoms. Like, give some toilet paper to your friends, your neighbors.
Not only that, dirty fingernails.
Yeah.
Well, right. This conversation took a strange turn.
We were talking about germs to begin with, so yeah. I think we're in the ballpark. Nathan, do you have what are you currently stocked up on?
What am I stocked up on?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, the one thing I want to actually mention that I'm most fearful of about this whole situation is the economic impact of everything.
Okay.
What I'm afraid of is deflation of the economy and our dollar. When you take away so many people's income all at once, when the economy has taken a turn to a gig economy, and Trump likes to talk about how we, you know, the jobs, everyone, you know, the job unemployment rate is so low. Well, it's so low because people aren't reporting that they're jobless because they're usually taking gigs, you know, here and there, everywhere, and everyone's living paycheck to paycheck. Mm. And then all of a sudden you make everyone not work, and suddenly the paycheck to paycheck doesn't work anymore. How do you pay rent? And so what's going to happen in April when rent is due, and are we still going to be all isolating ourselves and waiting this out?
Yeah.
And if people, that's my biggest concern, is the economic impact. Would like
people who have a gig that puts them in front of a lot of people, say like being like a waiter or a rideshare. Is that a concern? Like, would you rather get paid less and avoid the disease more, be more likely to avoid the disease, or other way around?
I think people are going to weigh those options, and they're not going to be sure. And I think they're going to avoid going out to do those things until they cannot afford to do so anymore. Mm. And then they're going to do it later while the virus is still out there and active, and it will perpetuate and elongate the amount of time that it's out there.
Mm.
Because if you isolate yourself and you're not getting sick, and some people are out there, and they're still sick, and then you go out there later, and you've never contracted the virus, but you wait like a month, and then you get sick again. Well, then it's still going around, and the people that have never caught it are most susceptible. So,
I think though that's the point of flattening the curve. I think the idea is, yeah, the same number of people are going to get infected.
That's right.
But it's going to be spread out so that we have hospital beds, and we have
right.
People that take care of them. So
that's for the best, yeah.
Yeah.
I would.
That's interesting.
I just think that it's going to be more of an economic blunder than I think we are prepared for. And we did a stimulus of like, what, $1.5 trillion just now? Like overnight, kind of? And I think that's going to just disappear and evaporate here pretty quick, probably. But we'll see. I mean, I hope to stay optimistic. I mean, maybe we can bounce right back from it.
Yeah.
But when you turn off everything, when you turn off the entire economy all at once, this is not anything I've ever seen in terms of economics. I'm not so afraid of, I don't know. I'm lost for words. Who knows what's going to happen? I mean, I've never seen anything like this.
Does anyone else feel the same way economically about the impact, potential impact of this virus? Chad, Larry?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's going to have a pretty big impact. How could it not, right? Mm. I try to temper all of this with again, going back to what I said at the end of our last call last week, the Stoic philosophies and trying to see things as kind of like, instead of things. Right, yeah. Well, things are going to happen, and you can kind of, as much as you believe you have free will, you can change your perspective. And instead of seeing things happening to you, they're actually happening for you, sort of opportunities to see things in a different way. people do have a tendency to find their way through this, and things are usually never as good or as bad as you think they're going to be. So we'll see.
That is the most Chad quote I've ever heard.
And it can be definitely point out flaws in our systems that maybe we can address later if we will.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people reaching out in the community. You know, it's given me a little bit of hope for humanity. You know, people offering to help watch kids while people go to work when their children are at home and they don't have money for babysitting. I think that's
the biggest benefit of this whole tragedy is I think we're going to truly see the humanity shine through when it comes to how we're going to get through it. I think there's going to be a lot of charity going around and a lot of sympathy and empathy, hopefully.
Like a humility check.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. We're going to check in with each other. People are going to be hanging out with their families. Mm. You know what I mean? Well, people are going to be...
Hopefully remotely.
Yeah. Remotely, but they're going to be quarantined. I think people are going to... I think what people will naturally do is lump themselves in together in very small, tight-knit groups. And they'll hunker down for some time.
This may be
a super long time, but a couple weeks.
This may be opportunistic to try to get out there as a community of non-believers and do good and advertise that we are doing it not because we believe we're going to heaven for doing it, but we're doing it because of it's the right thing to do.
And maybe in the second half of the show, we're getting down toward the bottom. Right. We'll talk about the religious reaction to this virus.
Yeah. And maybe the best religious ways of fixing epidemics, if there are any.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And Ty, one more thing about the economy. Also trying to see things and silver linings and what have you. This is going to create an opportunity for young people to invest in the stock market.
I want to talk about that in the second half. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Great. Definitely.
Yeah, I think it's a good opportunity. They've been marginalized for quite a while, and it's just difficult to get in.
Right.
And now this will create opportunity for some of these young people that want to tear the system down.
Yep.
They can actually buy into it now.
Let's delve into it.
I agree with that, provided that they can pay for their rent.
So, Larry, why don't you take us out?
Okay. This is the Digital Freethought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio, 103.9 LPFM, right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. And we'll be back right after this short break.
You're listening to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO 103.9 LPFM in Knoxville, Tennessee. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Five, and this is the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Today is Sunday, March 15th, 2020, and the second half of the show, and we're about to talk about free thought groups that you can join right here in Knoxville. First, there's the Atheist Society of Knoxville. We're in our 18th year now. We have over 1,000 members, and you can find us online at knoxvilleatheist.org. By the way, if you don't live in Knoxville and you can go to Meetup and search for an atheist group in your town. Don't find one.
Start one.
That's right. Another large free-thinking group here in Knoxville are the Rationalists of East Tennessee. That's RET. They've been around for more than 20 years. You can find them at the Pellissippi State Campus on every other Sunday, generally. You can find their website at rationalist.org. Just go there and click on the upcoming events button. Earlier in the show, we said we'd talk about the Atheist Call-In TV show. Well, it's called the Freethinkers United Coalition of Knoxville. It's online now. It used to be broadcast, but we've gone to the tubes. It's on YouTube streaming version. Go to YouTube and search for three words. Make that four words now. Freethinkers United Coalition of Knoxville. Remember, you can find archives of their show on YouTube where a fan has been posting them. Also, if you're interested in getting involved with the TV show or the radio show, just come to an ASK meeting or RET meeting and talk to us about it. You can be our next co-host or guest. With us on the show today, we have Wombat, Boudreaux, Chad the Impaler, and Wombat, where do we want to pick up?
Hey, let's talk about investment opportunities for young people today. Hey, Chad, you were talking about the economy potentially being a good opportunity for people to jump into the market at this point.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good opportunity. And again, this is going to be a rough hit for many of us. And maybe, well, obviously, some of us are going to lose our jobs, and some of us are going to be okay, and some of us are just going to go through uncertain times to be anxious for the next 6 months. But I think it's a good opportunity, if we're looking for opportunities, which I think we should all do, it's a good opportunity for maybe some younger people that don't have that haven't previously had an opportunity to invest in the stock market to do that now.
Yeah.
You know, a good opportunity to make some big money if you do it correctly.
And do you have any advice for how they could, like, start looking into maybe starting an account or, like, getting information about this?
I do not.
I got some random things, if that might help out.
Yeah.
So we do have an economy. Thankfully, the economy's unfortunate. Well, to an extent, it's ruled by basically 500 companies. That's called, like, the Standard Poor, the S&P index, which is, like, five huge companies that basically maintain about 90-ish% of the GDP. And thankfully, not many of them, actually none of them are actually, like, handled by gigs, but rather by large institutions, a large degree of capital that they've saved up. They have political lobbies and a lot, you might have heard the phrase too big to fail. And these applies to these, like, top companies. These companies are available for anyone who wants to invest. You can pick your favorite broker. You can just Google it. I personally use Robinhood, but there's a lot of other people that can jump in. And since, let's say from like October to December, the economy itself was actually overinflated. Like the prices for a lot of the stocks were just rising beyond what the actual value of the company was. So it was actually a really bad time to invest. But now because of what is essentially a combination of just lack of access to, I guess, like customers, like events shutting down, things like that, advertisement opportunities going away. And as well as stock sentiment, which is a very big part of how, stocks change their prices, just the sentiment of the buyers, which doesn't necessarily reflect the value of the company. It's just, you know, a zeitgeist of people all moving in the same direction. Those prices have now dropped dramatically, maybe back to where they were, say, like last year, February. A lot of it's like a time machine, basically, where if you know a company was very good and did well all the way up to, like, say, like end of last year, you now have the opportunity to buy into a company as if it was the beginning of last year. And with the knowledge of, like, hey, if this company was valued at, say, $100 and it's selling for $40 right now because of the coronavirus panic, get in now, and that's an easy, 50% return on your more or less investment, in a short period of time if everything resolves. And here's the best thing. And I'm sorry if I'm talking too much. if in the event that all of America just turns into a wasteland, okay, well, that money would have been worth for anything anyway. So it's a good, it's a good opportunity to invest it at the end of the day.
Yeah, sounds right.
Yeah. But I do like the idea of the economic impact as well as the community impact. I think we have, the lack of, I know, like, for example, a lot of popular conventions got shut down, except for CPAC, which I was at, which had coronavirus at it, but thankfully I'm not a risk, at the moment. They had, E3 get shut down, and I was gonna miss seeing, like, the video games be revealed. I think they'll move to something electronic, which is probably good for them anyway. But also, like, the idea of people hoarding supplies really makes me upset, because I feel like that goes against the community, spirit. When you have one person just go into a grocery store and buy, you know, 16 gallons of water and basically an entire aisle worth of toilet paper, that always makes me upset to see.
So stores have actually combated that. I just went to Meijer and saw they had signs that limited how much you could take.
Good.
And I think that is the community stepping in. Could be corporate decisions too, but you know, my suspicion is because it's been crazy in Lexington, Kentucky. Random toilet paper, of course, is the thing, but eggs are out in a lot of places. Peanut butter, strange thing. I don't know, but panic sets in.
Yeah, and the whole thing is hospitals need toilet paper too. Hospitals need water as well. Like, we have to consider, like, do you really need an extra, 60 rolls? Or could this be better used by, people in need? Like, we always have to just be a bit more mindful of stuff like that. I feel like maybe even being upset by that makes me more mindful of it. And that leads into my community spirit.
Yeah. Do you think that this is a sign of just how alone people feel these days? Mm-hmm. I mean, I have to fend for myself. I don't have a community to help me. So I'm going to stockpile everything that I can because I don't feel safe. I don't feel secure. Mm. I have no community. Mm. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I can definitely see that. I could definitely see that. Although I always wonder, I always talk about selfishness in the long scale is, or a larger scale is always better than in the short term scale. Cause if I behave in a way that I want everybody else to behave, which tends to benefit me, like if I'm nice to people, I want everyone to be nice to me. If I pick up trash, I want everyone to like pick up after themselves and stuff like that. But if I go to a store trying to hoard all the supplies, in the same sense, would I want everyone to do that same thing too? No, I wouldn't want that. So maybe it doesn't benefit me to go out and hoard on a massive scale just to benefit myself. Cause in the long term, it wouldn't really benefit me. It would actually possibly make supplies even harder to manage.
Right. Would you take the last bundle of toilet paper if you didn't really need it?
Yeah.
There's something about seeing the last one of something and that illusion of lack that makes a person react a certain way.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah. And not only that.
Experiment this.
A friend of mine told me that he was shopping for toilet paper or something because they legitimately were out. And luckily he saw a friend. They grabbed two things of toilet paper, and the last two, and he walked up, oh, hey, any chance I can have that other one? I'm like, sure. Had that been a stranger, that wouldn't have happened.
Hmm.
Perhaps, right?
Right.
There's your community.
Yeah, we could take this opportunity to, we could see this as another opportunity, again, looking for opportunities. We could see this as an opportunity as we move among the panicked to carry ourselves calmly and be, you have an opportunity to service people around you. And maybe one of the ways that we can do that is to carry ourselves more calmly and have some compassion and try to exude that confidence, calmness, and compassion as you carry yourself.
Exactly. I think that's the true long-term benefit. Like, that's the real move that will benefit you. Just having some candor and behaving with some conduct of your consequences on the environment that you're living in. Absolutely.
Isn't there an opportunity here to kind of be creative in trying to bolster the economy, especially locally? Can't we, I mentioned buying gift cards, somebody posted that as a great idea to help some of these companies stay afloat. You buy some gift cards now and cash in later when everything's good. But can't we get really creative and think of, cleaning house cleaners, they should be, I would think, and I don't know what the risks would be, but they would be someone that could be flourishing right now, right?
Hmm.
You go to someone's house, you clean them, you're disinfecting. Handyman, again, there is risk, but it's pretty low. If you have one person come to your house and do some work, your home, let's say, anyway, it's an opportunity to do something. If we get a little creative and talk about it, I think we can keep people busy, keep economy going. We just need some good ideas, I think.
So here's a really great idea. A family roll size of toilet paper is about, I would say like maybe $11, maybe 11 bucks or something like that. Maybe let's say 13 if you get it at a Walmart. A bidet on Amazon is only 20, and that's a lifetime supply of toilet paper. And I don't know why people don't think about this, but it takes like 10 minutes to install and it's amazing. And I think the bidet industry should really be exploding right now.
Found a website called Ty's Bidets.
You should get one on Amazon. They're cheap.
Bidet. Oh my God.
Here's the flip side though.
You are shameless, sir.
It reduces a lot of actual waste that you either flush down a toilet, which has its like own problems. Yeah. And I am really, what I would like to say is, like, as we're shutting down stuff, I just want to applaud the people who are still picking up trash, who are still making sure our tap water runs, who still make sure that we have electricity in our homes. Like, these are the really unsung heroes when we have events like this, because they're the people beyond the economy who just make life work in a nation like this. And they don't get a lot of
and food too.
Boom. Like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's a big reason why I actually, I kind of like blew out a portion of the reason why I made a huge trek all the way out in the woods. But another reason why I'm out here is I'm on a farm. I'm going to do some work and help on a farm. I was like, hey, a new job opportunity, you know? Well, I'm out of work for my other job, so I might as well do something else. And this was something else just kind of fell in my lap. And I was like, well, I'll work through the pandemic.
So Nathan, what kind of work do you normally do? What field?
He does the coolest thing.
I do all sorts of things. Basically, temp work. But as I'm a Lyft and Uber driver sometimes. But I also advertise for my art. I do portraits of pets and people. So, which is probably not in high demand at all right now.
Nathan is Portland, Oregon. If that makes sense.
Right on.
Yeah, we keep it weird. We keep it ultra weird. We're like Austin squared.
Well, that's really cool. Now you get an opportunity to kind of shift some of your art into a different environment, right?
Yeah, actually, that's
well. If anyone, there's probably not going to be any buyers right now for a while. People are probably going to be buying more essential things and saving their money, especially when they're not making money as much. I feel like people buy art when they have expendable income, and I feel like right now people are going to be holding on to that expendable income. So I don't anticipate selling any additional art. I have one, piece in the pike that somebody hired me to do. And then once that's finished, I am open for business. But until I make a sale, I'll be looking for anything else that I can do to work. And I found this. And so I'll be, you know, moving supplies around this farm and tilling the soil and doing whatever needs to be done on the farm here for a little while. Probably for a week or two weeks worth of work, and then it'll be done. We'll see what happens from there.
I hate to sound Pollyanna-ish, but I may come off this way. I was in a grocery store earlier, and I saw a lady stocking flowers, and I thought, well, how optimistic. And it made me feel good. Yeah. And I can tell you personally, I'm not refuting what you said. Personally, I would love some good art. Right now, if I'm going to be stuck in my house, I would love to stare at something a little more beautiful than the walls. Well, you should just
go to Nathan Ferguson's art on Instagram.
I was about to ask you about that.
Yeah. Nathan Ferguson's art. Cool. Check it out. Realistic and surrealistic portraits of pets and people.
Nice. Speaking of links, I'm also going to put on the CDC link for today. Anyone can check that out. And they post once a day now on their YouTube channel. Hey, let's speak about maybe the difference between the scientific approach versus the faith-based approach to resolving matters like this, because this is not our first pandemic. It's not our first epidemic. Not the first time people got sick. And I think the comedian in our messenger group made a really I don't know if he wants to be called out, but he made a really great comment where it's like, oh, the coronavirus is out? Well, don't worry, guys. I've sent out a lot of thoughts and prayers, so I imagine this will be wrapped up pretty quickly. Also, like, the idea, I'm just gonna throw one thing off. But, I have noticed that ever since, like, you know, I finished school, that before it was really hard for me to get through school, or before it was hard for me to get even into the school that I got into. And then it was also hard for me to stay in the school that I was at. Man, it was rough. And then afterwards, it was just hard dealing with generally an anti-intellectualism sentiment that was cropping up in America. And it's always a weird thing to be like, man, those science, they think they know everything. Ah, ha, ha. Yeah, those brainiacs there. And then also on the flip side, when's the vaccine coming out? At the same time too. But,
it gets me the way that these, like healing sites are shutting down.
Yeah.
All over the world, you know, the healing waters of whatever. I can't remember the name of it. But
did you hear about the faith healing conference that shut down?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It was a faith healing conference.
Uh-huh. Okay, these are better stories.
Little or no faith.
I saw something that shocked me, amused me, scared me all at the same time. Someone was putting a list together of social distancing do's and don'ts. And I don't remember verbatim, but it was typical stuff, you know. Don't go to big concerts. Don't go out to bars. Don't, you know, do these things. Have just your family, maybe close, small groups, close personal friends in your house.
Uh-huh.
Do's and don'ts, right? But in the conscious area, like I think it was a traffic light, so it was red, yellow, and green. And in the caution area, one of the things they listed was church service.
Oh.
And I kind of feel like they gave church service a pass.
Mm-hmm.
Where, how is that any different than going to a concert?
Sure. Yeah, especially if you're at a mega church that has like thousands of people in attendance.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a bring your own holy water kind of thing situation. Right. Maybe.
Don't drink the holy water.
I
was reading where many of the Catholic churches were taking down the holy water because they were afraid that it was passing the virus on to the next people.
That's great.
Not so holy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a cognitive dissonance that we've been always going through as a people, as a human race. But I would say, maybe it might be worthwhile just to talk about, like, the science of, like, how these viruses function very quickly. Like, viruses aren't living things. I think Chad made it a very astute comment. Like, he didn't say, viruses are living or dead. He said they're active or inactive. And that's very much the case. They're just a little packet of DNA that can infect other living cells. And that makes it hard. So that makes it really hard to make, a vaccine in a sense, because you can't grow viruses. You have to grow cells, infect them with viruses, and then hope the cells propagate the virus. And that takes time.
And why antibodies don't work on them, or antibiotics don't work on them.
Exactly. And why hand sanitizer isn't the best thing. And it makes people freak out. It's like, hand sanitizer doesn't work. It's like, no. It's a very good way to make sure you don't get other diseases, so that if you do get infected by the coronavirus, you don't have to fight off two different diseases. And you don't want to lower your immunity system in any degree, so that you can focus on getting rid of the coronavirus if you do happen to get it. Because that's the theory behind it is like, hey, keep clean, maintain your hygiene, because you want to be strong in the event that you do get this. In the meanwhile, if you do get it, you will generate antibodies. And when we look for people who test positive for coronavirus, we look for their antibodies. And antibodies are basically just like a yellow post-it note that your body makes to put on diseases for the white blood cells to come by and be like, what should I kill today? And they kill whatever has the yellow post-it note. But even if you get rid of the virus, or even if you have the virus and it's inactive because it's just no longer contagious, and you're just keeping a record of it inside your body in a weird way.
Yeah. I just got over a cold. I mean, like yesterday I was down with it, and today I feel a lot better. And I was really hating to think that I could get CV-19 while I had the cold.
Right.
Which would be bad.
Really bad.
But now that it's over, I kind of feel better knowing I have all those white blood cells and antibodies running around
exactly.
in my body.
Exactly.
To help fight it off if I get exposed to it.
Right. And you might still have antibodies for the cold that you already got rid of.
Right.
And that's why a lot of people are still testing positive. Even though they might feel healthy, it's just the virus is inactive, but they still have the antibodies. And that's the main way that we're testing to see if you have it or not. So, I just want people to realize, like, there are people who are making blogs from the quarantined areas where people are being, maintained, where they know they did have tested positive for the virus. Those people are healthy. And they have to wait to be not tested for coronavirus positive. They have to wait 3 days in a row for them to test negative, for them to be released. But a lot of these people are there for like weeks, and they're still testing positive despite the fact that they aren't sick, because they still have the antibodies for it. It just takes a long time for them to get a confirmed no. But that makes sense. Hopefully that makes sense. I hope that didn't make anyone more worried. It's just an addition to, like, biochemistry takes a while because you have to wait for things to grow. It's like a garden.
Yeah.
And because of that, you can still be healthy, but still, because of the metrics we're using, look sick. And so we're just trying to be as safe as possible. So a lot of people are taking their time to make sure they come up with the best move forward, and they can make the best vaccine possible. If obviously there would need to be one, but like, in order to make the best vaccine possible, you have to make the best step forward, because you don't want to just make something overnight and say like, we made it, take it, and it doesn't fix the problem, because we didn't take enough time to make sure we got the right thing.
Right. Now, one of the things that did worry me was that I read an article recently where some people in Japan have been found to be reinfected with it after they got over it and got reinfected. Which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
I never really knew that was a big thing, but I guess it could happen.
So I've gotten chickenpox a number of times. And the viruses that have been around, say, for example, like since Egyptian times, or like, you know, Victorian era are still around and we have them. Like, we could test positive for a lot of stuff, but our immune system has developed such that it's okay because we know how to take down those viruses that are in the air right now. So it may just be a deal where the coronavirus will probably just be a thing that infects, you know, a large proportion of people, but whether or not it actually causes symptoms that are detrimental to our life will be a nominal issue. And that is the case typically with the majority of viruses that we face. Otherwise, we'd be dying left and right because they're all over the place. It's the germs are out there. It's always been the case.
Well, they're in there too. I mean, half of our bio is in some kind of invasive a bug that we live with.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Then some of them actually help us.
Yeah. So, like, this is not an abnormal thing. I know it's scary because we don't have all the details, but like in the grand scheme of biochemistry and basically how we've been handling it, I would find that not only are their numbers as concerning as they could be purported to be or shown to be, but the mechanisms that we're using to fix this are absolutely good. Like, reducing the number of people who can get it by reducing, you know, contact, that's a smart move. Washing our hands, that's a smart move. You're washing away germs, you're washing away potential viruses, you're disinfecting and cleaning surfaces that might have the virus on them that could potentially be active. If you're sick, you're wearing a mask so that you don't get other people sick. Wearing a mask when you're not sick doesn't actually help you, so try not to do that because you're just concentrating potential germs on the outside of the mask.
Plus, health workers need it, and you'd be taking masks away from the health workers.
Exactly. But for the most part, I feel like all the tactics that we're doing will be a great way to spread out the rate of infections to the point where we can get a handle on how to resolve this in the long term. And we're already seeing more people getting infected and recovering than people getting sick at this point. So, hey, it's a big deal. Is it worth panic? No. And I think the biggest epidemic, really, the biggest enemy is panic.
Agreed.
Ooh.
Agreed.
But if you have a chance to go on a farm, go on a farm. That's that's awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Such a healthy thing to do anyway.
You always go on like one awesome vacation after the other. Oh, man.
Yeah. But do you know how dangerous farms are?
Oh, yeah. You can get... Oh. Was it?
It was precisely this time last year I was in India. So, yeah. Absolutely.
Look at this guy.
Yeah,
man, I gotta.
I was actually in India and I was watching like some videos Anthony was making, talking to people about the outsider test and asking people about being Hindu. And I was in India. Surrounded by Hindus.
Oh,
I was in India.
Oh, okay.
While I was watching his videos, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I think it's interesting. I hope. No one else. Well, you know what? Maybe I just shouldn't say it.
No, go for it. You can't start a sentence like that.
I was seriously contemplating going to Rishikesh. Basically, it would have been last month and a little bit into this month. And now I'm really glad that I didn't.
Yeah. I was planning on doing a talk in California for VidCon, but the event got canceled. I was planning on going to Atheist Convention, AA, in Texas. That got canceled as well. Like, as I was in the UPS about to ship my stuff to the event, Anthony let me know, hey, this event's not going on. I'm like, wow. So, like, I am feeling the impact of, like, losing opportunities to travel, but I do think in the long term, it's probably the smart move to just say, okay, I'll just, you know, hang out in the cornfields of Columbia, Tennessee for a little bit. It's all good.
No, I think it's best.
Yeah. Really. Yeah. Working my jump float serve. Okay, so let's wrap up. I think we're near towards the end of the show. Nathan, how can people find you? You were talking about SC a lot. What's a good way for us to get in contact with your material?
Yeah, provided that the internet signals out here is strong enough, I should be uploading my next video this Monday. And you can find my channel at Abstract Activist SE. That's my YouTube channel.
Nice.
And I'll be coming up with, I think I have like four 2-hour long interviews in the pike coming soon, out soon. And the one I'm most proud of will come out this Monday, hopefully, if everything goes according to plan.
And the words in the weeds say that you're setting up for a documentary. Is that accurate?
Well, I'm in contact with some people that are involved with Peter Boghossian's project, promoting the effectiveness of his new book, How to Have Impossible Conversations.
Nice.
And Abram and I have done some interviews together, and
Abram's a friend of yours?
He's a friend of mine, and he is in my most recent video and will be in the newest upcoming video. He's in all five of the videos,
right.
And it's a long journey that we take together.
Wow.
And I plan on basically sharing with everybody what that journey was like for Abram. And now he is very much involved with this project. And I would like this to be the very first, at least I think it might be an SE first. I'm not really sure of, somebody consenting to an SE talk and then afterwards, making a video and having him consent to it publishing, consent to it having been published. So this is entirely his thing. I didn't want to ruin my friendship with him. So I said, hey man, like this is real. This is your words. And if you don't want this out there, if you don't think that this will help anybody, then it doesn't go out there.
Hmm.
And I think we both saw the mutual benefit of publishing the content. So what I will be coming out with here pretty soon is fully consensual, and I think we make some good progress there. So pretty happy with it.
Very cool.
He's actually right here next to me. he's smiling at me hearing it. Yeah.
Eric, so. Or Boudreaux, is there anything that you'd like to plug and before you check out?
Yeah, I guess one thing I would like to say is, you know, we're paying attention to, we're practicing what we preach, and that Chad and I have already discussed we're going to go ahead and postpone our April summit. It's our get together that we do.
Wow. Okay.
We figure it's unnecessary to add that exposure, because some of them will get kind of big, 10, 12 people sometimes. And it's a small room.
And it's a potluck too. We share food and it's.
Yeah.
You also lick each other's faces. It's really weird.
That only happens at the end.
Yeah. Right. I made the mistake of staying along.
Yeah. That's why you stopped coming.
Yeah. It's like, I got to move out of the state.
But I would like to throw out an idea, Nathan. When timing works out, I'd love to talk to you if you are willing to paint any Star Wars characters.
Oh,
I have a collection started where we have a Boba Fett and an IG-88, and those are two of the bounty hunters from Empire Strikes Back.
We know who they are.
Oh, hell yeah.
We are all Americans. It's all good.
Well, a lot of people don't.
I'm open to that idea,
Gengar and all that stuff.
And
take a look at my art page, man.
Where can we find your art stuff again, Nathan? Do you want to plug that one last time?
Yeah, it's Nathan Ferguson's Art on Instagram and Facebook. Instagram is where you can see everything most clearly, yeah.
Cool.
Nathan Ferguson's Art.
Chad the Impaler, do you got anything that we should check out in the meanwhile? Maybe good ways to stay calm?
Just kind of be mindful of your thoughts, you know? If you want to know how your mind works, sit down and watch it. And I was kind of trying to think of something, because you usually ask it at the end of these, and I don't have any social media out there that I can say I'm proud of. So maybe just that, and, you know, remember that what you are looking for is where you were looking from, if you're on, like, an introspective kind of journey. St. Francis of Assisi said it differently, but it means the same thing. What we are looking for is what is looking. So,
cool.
I don't know. Contemplation.
Yeah, never mind the dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Chad abides.
Right, that's a good example of plucking a diamond from a dunghill.
Nice.
There you go. So.
Larry, I'll let you close it out. Mine is Let's Chat on YouTube, but there's so much good material. I think at this show particularly, you should just check out the CDC link that I'll be posting. You can check out their channel. They make daily updates, and everything that they're saying is the definitive information. That's the standard that I think we should be following. Likewise, the tone of the talks are actually pretty straightforward and not as, sensational as what you might get from, like, your 24-hour news source of choice. Check them out.
Right.
I'll post the link.
Sounds good. And if you have any questions for the show, you can send them to askanatheist@knoxvilleatheist.org. We'll try to get to them in the future. Be sure to visit our website at digitalfreethought.com and click on the blog button for more radio show archives, atheist songs, and other articles on the subject. If you'd like to listen to our shows prior to this, they're available on podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Luminary, podcast.com, etc. And remember, somewhere, somebody believes that you're going to their hell. In fact, according to the world's religions, everybody is going to somebody else's hell. The only time to worry about it is when they prove that heavens and hells and souls are real. Until then, don't sweat it. Enjoy your life. That's it for this week. Join us next week at 7 p.m. on WOZOradio.com for another Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. See you then. Say bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all.
Bye. See ya. Be safe, everybody.
Game over.
You've been listening to Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
Thank you for having me.
WOZOLP 103.9 FM, Knoxville.